T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, I was hoping to bring in Johnny McGonigal with wonderful music, perhaps his favorite song, but he's coming on nonetheless, the man we call John Football, Johnny McGonigal from the Post-Gazette. He's on his way to Charlotte for the big game, apparently giving us the Bellefonte snorkel, which I just learned through my headphones. Not the type of guy who would give us the snorkel,
he might
is he?
Be on a plane, for all we know. He may not be able to do it. That would be a Bellefonte snorkel, though, if he committed and then can't do it, right?
I don't take Johnny as a guy who would deliver a last-second Bellefonte snorkel.
No,
do you, Ron?
I think he enjoys coming on and sharing his expertise with us.
Here we go. This is the music I was looking for, Ron, and that means he's on the line. This is one of Horse's greatest creations, taken from a passive-aggressive yup that Johnny delivered at the end of one of our interviews. Very contentious, but I must say that Johnny has been proven right in many a game with the Pitt Panthers this year. He's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. He is an absolute legend, John Football. Hello, Johnny.
Joe, Ron, how we doing, guys?
We've never been better, and we appreciate your inquiry. Are you headed to Charlotte even as we speak? There was rumors you're going on the Pitt charter. What's happening here, Johnny?
I am not going on the Pitt charter, no. I'm sitting here in my car in the long-term parking lot at the Pittsburgh airport. Once I'm done here, I'm going to walk in, go through security, and get down to Charlotte.
Johnny, you seem like the type of man who would do everything in advance. You have your boarding pass from last night. You're very well organized. You're perhaps traveling with only a carry-on, yes?
Absolutely.
I had him pegged, Ron. You have a question for him?
Well, you know, before we talk about the game, let's talk about Pickett a little bit here. We were speculating that this conceivably could be his last game. Do you anticipate him playing in a bowl game? You know, obviously looks like he could be a number one pick. We see more and more of those guys bowing out. And does it matter if they win or lose? If they go to a New Year's Day bowl, is it more likely that he'll play than if they go to a more minor bowl?
You know, this is something that I considered asking Kenny this week. We met with him on Wednesday, but I figured it'd be a better question for after Saturday's game, so I didn't ask him that. It is something that I've thought about, and whether or not he would play in a bowl game. I think he'd play just because that's who Kenny Pickett is. He's not a guy who would, you know, skip out on an opportunity like that to finish off his season with guys he's been playing with for 5 years. Would I blame him for not playing in a bowl game? Absolutely not. But if you look at it and say, okay, if he wins the ACC championship tomorrow, that's the best way to go out, right? Go out on top. You accomplish what you set out to do 5 years ago when you came to Pitt. But then you're bailing on a New Year's Six bowl game and an opportunity to get 12 wins. And then if you lose the ACC championship, do you want to go out on a loss? So I don't know. It's one that we'll certainly ask him after tomorrow's game. But you know, I wouldn't blame him if he doesn't play in a bowl game. But it doesn't seem like the kind of guy he is.
John, I agree with you, but we're talking millions here. You know what I mean? We're talking about a lot of money as a first-round pick.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, him coming back was a $10 million decision. If you look at the difference between what, you know, Ian Book, Notre Dame's longtime quarterback, got as a fourth-round pick last year with the Saints compared to what Mac Jones got as the, 15th overall for the Patriots, I mean, it's $10 million difference, and so or $11 million difference. So, it was a great decision for him to come back, but there is a lot of money on the table, and he still has a Senior Bowl ahead of him, a combine, private workouts, all these different things. But also, you know, this season means a lot to him. It means a lot to a lot of these guys on the team, too.
Johnny McGonigal on the Nemecolon Fan Hotline. So you get the impression then that even if they lose and they're headed to the Military Bowl to play East Carolina, that he would choose. You'd be surprised if he didn't play.
Well, I'd be mildly surprised, but then again, it's like you have the numbers in front of you that this is what he stands to make as a first round pick. And I'd understand, respect, and applaud him for making that decision if he ends up doing that. I also don't think they play in the Military Bowl. I saw that was one of the bowl projections, but at this point, it seems like the loser of the ACC Championship game will go to either the Holiday Bowl out in San Diego to play a Pac-12 team or the Gator Bowl down in Jacksonville to play an SEC team. So I don't think it would be the Military Bowl, but I get what you're saying.
All right, who's going to be the loser tomorrow night? Do you like Pitt's chances in this game? I picked 58-55 Pitt. Wasn't that the score of the North Carolina Wake Forest game? And I think it could be whoever has the ball last.
I'm with you, Ron. I don't quite think it's going to be that high scoring, but I have Pitt winning 45-42. And I know that's, you know, we're both right on the betting line. I guess that's, the betting line right now is Pitt -3.
That is correct.
Over-under set at 71, so we both think that's going to hit. I think it's a high-scoring game, but I do think, Pitt's defense has stepped up when it's needed to, at least down the stretch here against Virginia, against North Carolina, and I think they do it again. They get a stop and Pitt gets the ball back. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a game winner by Sam Scarton. Their first-year starting kicker who, has made 16 of 19 kicks this year, but he hasn't been in one of those scenarios where it's like, hey, you need to make this, and he could find himself in one of those scenarios. On the flip side, by the way, Wake Forest's kicker, 89.5% on his career. It's tied for second most accurate in NCAA history. So I don't think we're going to be seeing a lot of field goals tomorrow, but just something to keep in mind.
Johnny, tell us what the likely bowl is then and the likely opponent with a win or a loss, if you had to pick one for each.
Yeah, well, so for a loss, if they end up in the Gator Bowl, they would play Texas A&M, Arkansas, and then, or if it's a Holiday Bowl, it looks like UCLA. And for a win, Ron will love this. It's looking like Ole Miss. So Pitt against Ole Miss in the Peach Bowl. Down in Atlanta would be a big game, a fun game between Pickett and Corral. Those are the likely options at this point.
Do we have any chance at Pitt-Notre Dame?
Yeah.
I think so. Obviously, if Notre Dame doesn't make the playoff, which there are a few scenarios that they can miss out. They're, six right now? So, yeah, there's certainly a path to that. And I think that would be a lot of fun, too.
That would be great fun. You can have your Ole Miss, John. I'll take Notre Dame.
Did you guys see the video of Marcus Freeman getting introduced?
I did. I was telling Joe about it earlier. Pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. Especially with Brian Kelly leaving out the back door the way he did.
With a Southern accent last night.
And suddenly he has a Southern accent. How about that?
It's hilarious. It's pathetic and hilarious.
So, Johnny, let's talk about this game. No, let's first talk about the Heisman. That's what I had written down here. What if things go poorly for Alabama against Georgia? Then Pickett, has a 5-touchdown incredible game. Like, what are his chances right now at still winning the Heisman, in your opinion? And then second to that, what are his chances of at least going to New York? I'm assuming they still go to New York in these times as one of the top three.
Yeah, so, I mean, it could even be a top four, top five. It all depends on just how tight the voting is. And I think it could be tight. Like you mentioned, Bryce Young playing Georgia tomorrow in the SEC Championship game. After that drive to come back and tie it against Auburn in the Iron Bowl, send it to overtime, they win that game. It feels like Bryce Young's award to lose at this point, but at the same time, Kenny Pickett has an opportunity here, and he's on the national stage. I worry that some of, the Southern voters or, guys maybe in the West Coast, haven't seen a lot of Kenny Pickett. There's a chance for them to do that in a potential shootout And, you know, if he puts up really good numbers like he has, you know, all season, yeah, I mean, he has a shot still to win it. I think his place in New York should be locked up. If he plays well, you know, if he goes out there and plays poorly and they lose, I don't think he gets there. But, you know, if he plays well, I think he's definitely going to New York. He should be, at least. I think he deserves a spot there.
I'm with you. I think it's Bryce Young's award to lose, though. You know, if he has a great game against Georgia, I think he locks it up. But the other kid is Addison. I know the voting is done for the Biletnikoff. I have to like his chances of winning that even more than Pickett's chances of winning the Heisman.
Yeah, no, Biletnikoff, those votes are in. I don't have a vote for the Heisman. I do have a vote for the Biletnikoff, and I voted for Addison. You know, the kid is the most, you know, receiving touchdowns in the country by a wide margin at 17. He's been so integral in this passing game and a top-four offense in the country. He's played out of his mind. And, you know, if Wake Forest defensively ends up doing what Syracuse did last week, play a lot of three deep, force, you know, Pickett to go underneath and be patient, you could see a lot more, you know, swing passes, bubble screens to Addison again this week. He could be, you know, kind of, you know, what, 10, 12, 11 catches for 100 yards. You know, I expect him to have a big game tomorrow.
Wake Forest can't stop the run either. I mean, their defense is basically horrible. Let's be honest here.
It is.
So this is a good thing that Pitt's running game seems to have all its pieces back, yes?
Yeah, Izzy Abanikanda will be available. Their lead tailback averaging over 5 yards a carry. He missed the Syracuse game. Ended up leaving at the top of the second half against UVA with what Narduzzi called it, a tweak. But he is available, so that's good. They have him. Vincent Davis, who had 100 yards against Virginia, and then obviously Rodney Hammond, who has become their closer, the true freshman running back who, you know, loves putting his head down, getting tough yards, even at, what, 5'9". You know, Tim Salem, the tight ends coach, called him one of, like, said he's as tall or as big as a Mountain Dew can. But he's been really good for them this season. So, yeah, those three running backs behind an offensive line that'll have Owen Drexel back at center, or at least expected to be back at center, you know, I think they'll be able to run the ball in Wake Forest. And that's the other thing, too. Like, if they end up, you know, a touchdown ahead late, I think that running game comes alive and is able to maybe close out a game for them.
John, is this a one and done for Pitt, or is this the chance to build on something big going forward? I mean, obviously this is going to be remembered as the Kenny Pickett year, but he's not going to be coming back next year. What do Pitt fans have to look forward to next year and beyond?
Yeah, look, obviously the quarterback position in 2022 and beyond is a massive question mark, and so much of a season's success goes through the quarterback like we're seeing from Pickett this season, but you know, outside of quarterback, you have Jordan Addison back. You've got on defense, Derossier Dennis, Kalijah Kancey, Hava Baldonado. There's a handful of guys on that defense that could end up going to the NFL, but I think should come back, improve their stock. Brandon Hill at safety. You know, there are a lot of guys for this, you know, whether it's 2022 and 2023. There's enough young guys on this team to build around moving forward. And I think, you know, obviously it has been the Kenny Pickett show this season, but you know, it's been Izzy Abanikanda, you know, getting over 5 yards a carry. It's been Addison. It's been so many of these different guys that have stepped up. Even true freshman, you know, Gavin Bartholomew, the tight end who, you know, 10 of his last 13 catches have gone for touchdowns or first downs. Like, he's contributing at a high level for this team. So, yeah, I think they're in a good spot. You know, again, if the quarterback play is on par, or not necessarily on par, but, you know, positive next season.
Johnny, I see there have been some people who have thrown Pat Narduzzi's name into some of these coaching situations. There's no chance he's going anywhere, is there?
I don't think so. Yeah, I guess there were a few national reports that were saying, hey, here's a list of candidates for Notre Dame, and he was on that list. Obviously, that job is filled now. I don't see him leaving. He's got 3 years left in his contract. I wouldn't be surprised if an extension gets worked out here in the next couple of weeks. You know, he's won now. It's a 10-2 season, possibly a 12-2 season, and that is going to bear fruit on the recruiting trail in the coming years. You know, normally that kind of success isn't immediate, but you know, kids, sophomores, juniors in high school, will see what Kenny Pickett, Jordan Addison's doing, and so I think Pat Narduzzi and his staff, guys like Brendan Marion, Charlie Partridge, a really good staff, can parlay the success into future success.
John, do they have to win tomorrow for this to be really remembered as a successful season? It's kind of hard to get by a loss to 15.5-point Western Michigan and 9.5-point Miami. Do they need to win this tomorrow?
Well, yeah, they'll tell you they need to win it. That's what they expected coming into the season. That's what Kenny Pickett expected, was to go win the ACC championship. For it to be deemed a success, I don't know. I think it depends on how tomorrow goes. If they get blown out, then yeah, that's a disappointment, or that's disappointing. But to get 10 wins in a regular season for the first time since 1981, like, you can't really take that away from them. So I still think the way that they've navigated this regular season schedule after losing those games to Western Michigan and Miami is impressive, no matter how you slice it. And, even if they lose in a shootout, people aren't going to forget the year Kenny Pickett and Jordan Addison this team had. So I still think it's a success, as long as they don't go out and lose by 40, which, again, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think I'll remember it for sure as the Kenny Pickett year, that he was unbelievable, and Addison too. But the Pickett year, really, going for the Heisman. But I could slice up the regular season another way, Johnny. They were favored by more than a field goal in every single game and never played a ranked team and lost to as a 9-point favorite and a 15-point favorite at home. Like, they navigated their way to this game. That's good. But it's really the least they could have done with that schedule and that quarterback, in my opinion.
I get that, but it's college football. Stuff like that happens. A loss like Miami, it just happens. It's not just Pitt, especially this season, too. I mean, it's been...
How about Western Michigan?
Yeah, Western Michigan is inexcusable, and they'll tell you it's inexcusable, too. They've talked about that like crazy. I'm still of the opinion, and I guess it's easy now to say, but I still think that if they don't lose that game, they're not here. Like, I think they learned a lot from that game. They learned a lot about themselves, the players only meeting that Kenny Pickett called the Sunday after. I think they grew from that. So I would, you could argue that without losing that game, they're not here in the ACC.
I hear that. I definitely hear that. But it's not, for me at least, not justification for losing to the last place team in the MAC. And I look at it more as that loss may very well have cost this team a chance at the college football playoff.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, if they're 11-1 right now, and they win the ACC championship, they're fringe. They're what, 5 or 6? They're ahead of Notre Dame, so they're probably 5. So yeah, that's the difficult pill to swallow. Absolutely. But again, I still think that if you don't lose that game, you're not here, and we're not even having this conversation. So, but I get it's. I don't know. It's interesting to play this, play their kind of revisionist history on if they beat Western Michigan.
All right, John, give us your prediction once more. You said 45-42 Pitt. Is that correct?
Yep, absolutely.
All righty. Safe travels. John, wait for me for dinner tonight. I think at least you could do is buy dinner for the old guy, the veteran scribe.
What time's your flight?
Absolutely.
What time?
It's in an hour, so I gotta go hightail through security. Ron, when are you getting in?
I think I don't land until 7:15. So you're still staying where you said you were staying,
wait
right?
Wait for Ron.
Yep, I'll wait for you.
All right, I'll
Johnny,
look forward to it, man.
You're an international hero. You're a patriot. You're a spiritual guru, a philanthropist, a giant in your field, and Ron Cook's press box mate for the weekend. Enjoy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
There he goes, Ron.
Yep.
He's all of those things and more,
yep.
Isn't he?
You're entitled to your opinion, Ron.
He's a nice man, though. You guys are going to have fun. Will he take you to dinner?
No. And he does an excellent job
covering
Pitt. He is terrific at what he does.
Wait, you're not going to dinner with him, or do you think you will?
I think he's not going to be waiting. I don't land until like 7:15.
He should meet you at the airport.
That's if things are good. How that works. So.
Man, am I
glad I'm
not
getting on a plane. I'm hoping to get there by midnight.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's how it works. All right. You can text us.
You're entitled to your opinion, Ron.
You can text us on the... That was an incredible day, wasn't it, Ron? When you can bring out the little bit of anger that's in Johnny McGonigal, you've had yourself a day.
He didn't like me questioning Ole Miss versus Penn State or Notre Dame. He hasn't forgotten that. Hey, I would love to see a Notre Dame-Pitt game.
Yep.
Ole Miss, it just doesn't do anything for me. I'm sorry.
No, well, it does for me. What if they finish 2-3 in the Heisman? I think that's a great matchup.
I think Pickett has a chance to be 2-3. I don't think Corral.
Corral, no?
No, I don't think so.
Why?
I haven't even seen him high among the favorites. I haven't looked real lately, but I think Pickett is more highly regarded. I mean, Bryce Young is like has a huge lead.
I know, but he's playing Georgia.
I understand.
He's very
that,
likely
but
to lose.
I don't think Corral is up near. I think Pickett is higher.
Even so, I'd be enticed by that matchup. I would be enticed
still
by Corral
Notre
and Pickett.
Dame.
Nah, it's not what they used to be.
I
around.
Know.
Plus, I want to root for Notre Dame now. I want to root for them because
that's where
Kelly's
Lane Kiffin
gone.
Is right. Isn't he at Ole Miss?
Yeah. You get that, too. Little Lane Kiffin never hurt anybody. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. You can follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer, with locations in Wexford, North Huntington, and Uniontown. And the time right now is 1222. Get your home sold guaranteed and for top dollar with Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. Visit GinaWillSellYourHome.com. Coming up next, I want to do some over-unders on this Ravens game with Ron, including Lamar Jackson and Ben's rushing yards and interceptions. I think that might be interesting, and a whole bunch more. We'll do that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Got a guy quibbling with me here, Ron, over whether Pitt played a ranked team because Clemson is now ranked. And I'm telling him, no, very literally, they didn't play a ranked team, which is another way of saying none of the teams they played were ranked. How hard is that to understand?
They weren't ranked when Pitt played them.
So they didn't play a ranked team.
So they didn't play a ranked team. Now, Clemson was coming on at the end of the season and ended up getting ranked. But when they played Pitt, I think they were out of the rankings for the first time in, like, forever.
Right. So they didn't play a ranked team. Right?
I think I said right.
Ron, what do you have over there? You got your Diet Pepsi, or is that a regular today? You've gone regular?
Coke, Diet Pepsi, zero sugar.
Zero sugar.
After eating 18 donuts.
Now, what'd you bring for lunch?
Ham and cheese.
That looks pretty good on
rye. Ham and cheese sandwich, no, with regular little mayo, a little pickle. I told you I like pickle on
yeah.
my sandwiches.
Will you eat a pickle right out of a jar? Just eat a pickle?
No, not usually.
Me neither. All right, Ron, how about some over-unders for the game this weekend? Will you be willing to go there with me? And I'm talking about
We're
Pitt.
Talking Steelers
yeah,
or Pitt?
No, I'm talking Steelers. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm talking Steelers-Ravens
yep,
here.
Yep. I'm ready.
Let's start with Lamar Jackson, over under 75.5 yards rushing.
That's a lot of yards. We saw what Herbert did against him, and he had 90. I don't think Jackson's going to run for that easily that many. I'm going to say under that total.
I'm going to say over. And he might do it on one play if Derek Tuska and Dan Archibong are chasing him. If TJ Watt doesn't play, who's going to stop this guy on the outside?
That's a very good point.
Plus, he's their leading rusher. He's literally their top running back as well as their starting quarterback.
I just think they're going to do everything they can to take that away and make him beat him throwing the ball. And he's more than capable
I hear that.
Of doing that.
I hear that. But what was there to take away against the Lions? They had a broken quarterback who couldn't throw and they let them run.
Yeah.
Ben, 5.5 yards rushing.
Under.
I'm going to say over.
He's become a moving machine, though, hasn't he?
I think Ben has one scramble that's about 6 yards this week, and he goes over 5.5.
One of my favorite plays of the year was that two-point conversion. It got called back because of the penalty.
Tremendous.
That was just heart that he made it to the end zone on that play, and it gets called back.
What happened? Was that the
I think it was a hold
Claypool
or somebody?
Maybe?
Or
did Claypool
something?
Hold on
that
play?
That was in Cleveland, right?
It's a safe bet. He leads all wide receivers in penalties, doesn't
that
he?
That was a great – one of my favorite plays of the year.
Does either quarterback go over 1.5 interceptions?
I think they both could. Although the Steelers don't intercept passes, that's a problem. I would think Ben has a chance to throw too. I would think I'll say yes on Jackson. I think they'll get a couple.
I think Ben
will. He's
been
throwing a bunch as of late, right?
Yeah.
Jackson.
Jackson's had four games with two or more, four in his last game. Yes, I'll go over for Ben, though. I think Lamar, I just think they run the ball at will and then make some plays in the passing game. I think this is going to be ugly. I really do. Which team has more sacks, the Ravens or the Steelers, if T.J. Watt doesn't play, let's say?
I have to go with the Ravens.
So do I. I think OA is coming on
in a
big way.
I'm not even sure I wouldn't say Ravens, even if T.J. Watt was playing.
Yeah, and I think Bowser. I think they're a really fast defense. That's what I saw in their game against Cleveland, is that they're really, really fast and athletic. I think it's going to be problematic, to say the least, for the Steelers. Does T.J. Watt play, yes or no?
I'm going to say no. I don't see how he plays.
I'm in agreement on that one. Najee Harris, let's go with 68.5 yards rushing, over under.
How'd you come to that number?
I don't know. I don't know how I did,
That's
actually
an interesting number to pull out of a hat, 68 and a half.
Yeah.
They have not run the ball against anybody. I'm going to say under.
I'm going to say under. Do you buy? I thought Ed made his opinion yesterday was that he's hitting a wall. Ray said, how can you tell? Where do you fall on that spectrum?
Man, he's taking a beating, and you know, it's just hard for him to get anything done with that offensive line and the lack of throwing the ball down the middle. I don't know if he's hitting the wall or not. I think his production has dropped off. And is that because of the wall or because of what's around him? I tend to think more of what's around him.
The more I think about it, I'm going to go over here. I think that the Steelers are going to try and stay in this game by running right at the Ravens.
So you're going over 68.5 for him.
They're going to run right at the Ravens and desperately try to use clock and control the ball and keep it close, because the last thing anybody wants to see is the Steeler defense on the field.
41-10 again.
Andrews, Freiermuth. Who has more yards, Ron? Who has more catches? Who has more yards? Which of these tight ends?
Andrews and Andrews. You know, Freiermuth isn't Ben's number one guy. That would be Deontay Johnson. I'm not sure that Edwards isn't. It won't be Lamar Jackson's number one guy. I know Hollywood Brown's good. I know Bateman, the rookie. I think Andrews is his main guy. I'm going to say Andrews on both fronts.
So am I. Who makes the longer field goal, the Boz or Justin Tucker? Who has the longer field goal in this game? Doesn't Boz have the longest in Heinz Field history?
Yeah, I think so.
You think
so.
Tucker will break it?
If he has to, that's a question. Does he have to? I mean, I think reasonable game, either one of them can hit from 50-plus. If you're asking me who's going to make it from 60, I'll say Tucker. But, I mean, Boswell could have the longest one in this game.
Could Tucker make one from 75 in Denver? I asked the guy that the other day.
I don't know, man. That's a long, long, long.
He hit one from 66 indoors.
Yeah, he's an amazing kicker. You know, I meant to bring that up with Hoke yesterday, and I think we got sidetracked. What a weapon that guy is. He changes the game.
And they win close games.
He changes the game. You know, you know, you only have to go so far to give him a chance.
Your own 30.
Plus, that's why Mike Tomlin, a couple years, was it 2 years ago, went on the overtime game, elected to kick off, saying that this guy's going to pin us in and we're going to end up punting from deep in our end zone, and then they're going to only need a field goal, which he can make from 60 yards. That's why Tomlin went for the kickoff in overtime, if you remember that.
I do. I didn't
that
agree with it.
I know you didn't agree.
You can
with
return
it.
A kick, for God's sakes. The guy's going to pin us, and then we're not going to be able to move the ball?
Because he can kick it so high and bring it down right at the 1 or 2 yard line, and then you end up getting it back to the 15. I think that's what Tom – and I think that's what the guy we had on the other day talked about, that they don't ask him all the time to kick it out of the end zone. They trust him to pin somebody in, and I think that was exactly Tomlin's explanation.
I know. It doesn't show a lot of confidence in your offense, but then again, Duck was running your offense at that point, right?
And the figure is, you know, you punt after a three and out from your 20, they get the ball at the 40. They need one first down, and he's in field goal range.
I hear that, but I'm not kicking the ball to Lamar Jackson because he can go 80 on one play.
You're right.
I don't know. That game.
But they ended up getting it back.
They did. Yeah, they did.
And Juju fumbled. They might have won that. I think they would have won that game.
He would have been a hero. They all would have been, Ron, including Duck, right?
Ifs and buts and candy and nuts.
That's the one that Mason left with no face mask, remember?
Wobbling.
That was incredible.
Wobbling.
I don't do the carts and things of that nature. Is that what Tomlin said after that game when the medical cart didn't come out?
He wasn't responsible for it, right. Who was the guy that hit him? He used to play with Seattle.
Earl Thomas.
That's right, Earl Thomas.
That was frightening. One shot from Steelers-Ravens history. I'm talking a camera shot or a snapshot, really. That would epitomize the rivalry. One highlight, what would it be, Ron? If you were running the television production here and you wanted to run one shot leading into the game, what would it be?
Probably Antonio reaching over the end zone. I don't know if I can come up with a better one than that. And we can talk about Antonio in a moment. You might have heard he's back in the news.
Yes.
I would say that play probably.
That's a great one. I'd run Troy running back that interception. Maybe, but if I wanted to really epitomize the rivalry, I'd run Ryan Clark hitting Willis McGahee. That would be the play.
Or how about Ray Lewis hitting Mendenhall?
That was vicious, but it didn't come off on TV. Like, you didn't even notice it happened until after the fact. Right. You know what I mean? It was.
I remember them describing it. It was like a car crash.
Yeah, he snapped his shoulder blade like a piece of kindling.
That's not like a football injury.
Right.
He said it's more a car crash injury.
Well, tell me right now what you think of Antonio. Antonio, Mike Evans suspended for submitting fake vaccination cards.
He's just an idiot. I mean, I thought he has been keeping a very low profile on social media. I think Tom Brady has really done a great job sitting on him. But to try to pull this off, if indeed, you know, he's guilty of this, he's denied it. But now I guess I saw his attorney saying, hey, Antonio's not going to fight it. He's going to miss a couple games anyhow with this ankle injury. He's going to get healthy and ready to go for the playoffs.
Has he played his last game in Tampa?
I don't think so.
Because Bruce Arians is on the record from October 2020 saying he screws up one time, he's gone. When you get close to the playoffs and the guy made a catch in the Super Bowl for you last year.
You might forget about what you said in 2020.
Yeah, I think that he's going to play. Because Tom Brady will want him to play, and so will Brucey boy. All right, Ron. Let's take a look at the schedule this weekend. We looked at college. Let's look at pro. I want to know which games you would watch, you would actually pay money to watch, and which game that if it was going on behind you, you'd shut the blinds. Let's do that next on Cook and Joe. You can listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest run every Wednesday through Friday. At noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Well, it's getting to be you-know-what cutting time in the NFL, Ron, with the standings the way they are. We got an extra game this season. We have some interesting games, although I wouldn't call it a five-star schedule weekend.
I don't like the games this weekend. There's only one or two that I find really interesting.
Well, tell me the one, other than the Steelers. The Steelers are out of play here. The one game, including the Monday night game, that you would pay money to go see.
Well, the Monday night game is the game.
Yes.
Buffalo, New England, first of two between those two teams. That, to me, is by far the best game on the schedule.
What do you make of that game?
It's at Buffalo. I like the Bills. They're 2.5-point favorites. I like the Bills. I know you're solidly behind the Belichick bandwagon. I like the Bills at home.
I could see the Bills blowing them out, but when the games really count, like a couple weeks from now in Foxborough, and should they meet in the playoffs, I'm all over the Patriots. But I kind of like the Bills in this one. I could see them easily winning this game.
You know, if I'm looking elsewhere, the only other one of real interest I find is if the Bengals can match what they did against the Steelers last week. They have the Chargers at home.
That's a good matchup, I think. And the Bengals have shown so far this season that they really can't stand success. They followed up some good performances with some hideous performances,
yep.
And they're playing a team that's done the same thing. The Chargers came back from that Steelers game, and they lose to the Broncos in Denver, and it wasn't even close. They got pounded. I'll say this much for the Broncos, by the way. They've gone into Dallas against a pretty good offense and completely throttled them. And we saw Justin Herbert's pretty good, right?
He is, I think.
So they hammered him last week, and they win that game 28-13. I'm interested in the Broncos, Ron. You know, I'm not just saying that on horses account.
I'll give them credit. You know, they started off fast. What'd they do, win three in a row?
Denver?
Yeah, they were 3-0, and then they lose 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ever since they got rid of Von Miller, they've been good.
And then all of a sudden, they turned it around again. So I'll give them credit. Although they did lose to the Eagles, not this past weekend, the weekend before.
Well, that game to me.
30-13.
They did. That game to me is very interesting Sunday night. Broncos, Chiefs, 9.5
spread.
Are
you buying that the Chiefs are coming on?
Well, they're definitely coming on. Am I buying that they're going to get back to the Super Bowl? No. I think it's a really, really tall task to get to 3 Super Bowls in a row. And plus, they played in the AFC title game. They've almost been to 4 in a row.
It's not that hard. You saw your Buffalo Bills get to 4 in a row.
I know. And they were the only team ever that did it, Ron.
And they didn't win one of them, did they?
Thanks for reminding me. No, they didn't. And Kansas City, quite frankly, was one pass away from losing the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They lost last year. They didn't get there the year before that. I'm buying that Patrick Mahomes is starting to heat up. Yes, I am buying that.
And
they've got some pretty good wins. Green Bay, Vegas, Dallas.
Their defense is playing better, too.
You know why?
Melvin Ingram.
Exactly. No. But he's contributed.
He's contributed.
They're getting better. Yes, I'm buying that they're getting better. I am not buying that they're going to the Super Bowl. And I am buying the Broncos. Horse, your take on this game in a nutshell is what? That's a nutshell, all right, Ron.
All right, who's your Super Bowl picks? Are you staying with them at this point?
Yes.
Before the year, you said New England, Tampa Bay. And you said Tampa Bay would win it all.
I'm actually, honestly, if you asked me right now, like we had a clean slate, I think that would be my pick right now.
And I'm sticking with mine, too.
Which was Green Bay.
Kansas City.
And Kansas City. You don't think Aaron Rodgers will screw up another conference game?
No. I mean, I have Kansas City winning the Super Bowl. But I think Kansas City, Green Bay, I got as much shot as that as any of them, right?
Absolutely. What's the worst game on the schedule? There's some bad ones.
Oh, man, I got to look.
There's some bad ones. I would probably go Giants-Dolphins. You like that one, Ron? Mike Glennon? He only beats the Steelers. I don't think he can beat the Dolphins. Mike Glennon, I'm going to look up his career record. This guy stinks, Ron. And he's beaten the Steelers twice. Did you know that?
Eagles-Jets doesn't do much for me.
It doesn't do much for anybody.
And the other one, 49ers-Seahawks. That used to be a great game. Not so much now.
Ron, would you like to know how many times Mike Glennon has actually won a football game in his career?
I know one he won.
I know two he won.
He beat him twice?
I
remember once.
He beat him with the Bears, and he beat him with Tampa.
That's right.
He won the Anthem game.
That's right.
The Anthem debacle game.
In Chicago, you and I were both there.
This guy sucks, Ron. He is 6-21 in his career, and he beat Tomlin twice. I can't believe that. Which was worse, the Bears game or the home? It was home against Tampa, right?
I don't remember that one.
You don't?
I do not. The one against the Bears was just a hideous game for them with that whole Anthem controversy.
Now I need to look this up because now I'm
very
curious.
I don't remember that one, Joe.
No, it was a home game against Tampa. It was one of the worst losses of Tomlin's career. Tampa Bay stunk at that time. Now they don't even have his career record against every team. I'm going to call ProFootballReference.com and complain. Here it is. He's 2-0 against the Steelers. Just look at it. Look at it, Ron. He's 2-0. He's virtually...
And he's won 6 the entire time.
He's 1-5 against the Falcons. He's 6-21 overall. He's 0-2 against the Packers, Vikings, Saints. He's 0-2 against the Rams. I can't believe that. That's worse than Ryan Mallett, for God's sakes.
I remember that one.
This guy's horrible. But anyway, he's starting for the Giants. So pick against
the
them, unless it's the Steelers playing them.
The New York Football Giants.
Horse, how can we not have cut the Rocky Blyer Steelers suck clip yet? Could you do that before the end of the show? Is that possible? So when I go on to a rant like that, I can hear Rocky Blyer. I think that would be appropriate.
Just that part?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Steelers suck.
Just one man's opinion.
I'm done. that. I like the undone line as much as any of them.
Who's had the most truthful and best criticism of the Steelers? Chris Hoke, Rocky Blyer, Ryan Clark, Arthur Motes, or inadvertently Vince Williams?
I think Clark has been the best. You know, although Rocky is the legend, when it's a legend doing it, carries
the
a little
Steelers
more
suck.
Weight. He carries a little more weight than Ryan Clark, but I think Ryan Clark definitely. I think his rant was the best.
I don't think that's ever going to get
hitting.
Old. Can you put your headphones on for a second? Can you play that for Ron Horse?
The Steelers suck.
I think you'll enjoy that.
When a legend says that, it grabs your attention.
I'll tell you what. I think Hokies had the harshest criticism of anybody.
When he said 10 men, they're playing with 10 men. That was a pretty good one.
He said Devin Bush is playing with no heart, and he said it's like the Steelers are playing with 10 men.
I haven't seen him fight off a block yet.
Yep. He said, I haven't seen him shed a block by an offensive lineman yet. I mean, those are tough words, all of that.
They are pretty tough words.
All right, Ron. Top of the hour, I have a little treat for you.
We got our picks coming up next hour, some good games to pick from.
But you don't know about this treat yet, Ron.
I do not.
Horse and I have organized. You remember?
Is this a cookie surprise?
It should be a cookie surprise. I'm not even going to say the name of this guy. Remember he told, well, I'll tell you in the break. It'll give it away if I say
please,
the background
please
here.
Please not Caboli again.
I'm not discounting that. He's home resting his Achilles. It will be a surprise, Ron, and I think you'll enjoy it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.